I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. It is appropriate, as we're coming to the end of National Poetry Month here in April, to have our guests in the studio with us. They are recently appointed as the Delaware Poets Laureate, more familiar to the Delaware audiences as the Twin Poets, Albert Mills and Nnamdi Chukwuocha. Welcome, Al and Nnamdi. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So much has been going on since you were appointed to the Poets Laureate in late December, I believe it was.
Yes.
But what I'd love for our listeners to hear, many are familiar with the work you've been doing as the Twin Poets, but I would love to just spend a couple minutes for our listeners to hear from you about what was that catalyst that got you, that spark that engaged you in poetry, the spoken word?
Well, very, very early on, some of the first things, there are a few things. We had an uncle who was a poet and really introduced us to poetry and spoken word. And then our grandmother, she ran a foster home. And many of the children would come into our lives and into her home as very traumatic experiences and being taken away from their parents. And it was often left to my brother and I to try to soothe them, and rather it was through games or through storytelling. And storytelling became a very big part of it, where we tried to just use our words as a way to make the children smile and to remove them away from all the burdens and the tragedies they were carrying due to their current living situation and living arrangement, and just to make them happy. And it became a way in which we realized that words truly had power and they can help children. And it became a driving force for our storytelling and our poetry.
Are there particular events, themes that sort of inspire you in the poetry that you write and perform?
Yes, very much so. We both work with children, have always worked with children our entire lives. When we were children, we were working with children. So the things that unfortunately happened a lot of time in the inner city involving the children, like I said, we were discussing off air about the fight in the school, and if things just continue, those are the things that spark our writing. We truly inspired by trying to make a difference in the lives of our children and being motivated. We want to say we're like that second generation of rap after it was created, where it came into existence for us, and we're remembering 82 when we first heard the message sung and how it changed. Like, you can be saying something with it, and that's what we try to do. We try to have a purpose and say something with these words.
Now, how have your careers working with city council, working in community organizations, how has your work informed your poetry, and your poetry kind of influenced your perspective on your work?
They're definitely, they go hand in hand. They're Al and they're Nnamdi. Our social work and our poetry are truly, they both fuel each other. If we weren't poets, we often say we probably wouldn't be social workers, and if we weren't social workers, we probably wouldn't be poets. We feel that one truly gives us the voice and the platform to usher in the other. It's our poetry that where we talk about issues, and then it's our social work where we actually hands-on, we create programs and services and do the direct services and administer programs and services that impact the clients and the individuals that we reference in our poems and the communities we speak about.
Now, your work as the Twin Poets prior to being Poets Laureate, you've performed locally, regionally. Mm-hmm. Could you speak a little bit about how your career, if you will, as the Twin Poets has evolved and grown over time?
Mm-hmm. It all started, like I said, we were very young when we realized we had a gift. I want to say middle school, when we realized that we could write better than the other kids. We truly have something special here. So from that moment and just traveling, we went into the service. And then when we came back home, we reconnected, and we had a little brother who passed away, was hit by a stolen car, and we wrote a poem at his wake entitled "It's My Little Brother," and since then we were able to travel. We started traveling, and sharing that poem at community centers and churches, and realized that it wasn't just about our little brother; it was about so many other kids who were just dying too soon. And from that point, we started going to community centers, and then to churches, and then we're invited to Philadelphia, and then to New York, and then we're traveling all over this beautiful country, creating this name and this people to love the art form, and meeting so many kindred spirits that just love the art and love, they're truly about trying to make things better for children. And then it just grows into the next phase. We becoming authors and then creating programs and running programs and helping kids get into college and helping kids become better artists and then traveling internationally and sharing our words, you know, going to Brazil, going to, you know, Germany, all these other places, Amsterdam, Africa, and performing and seeing that it's a love for this art that's called poetry. And so often it gets swept under the rug here in America, but other countries, they truly embrace it. I mean, there is a you know, big international poetry slam where, I mean, thousands of people come to hear poetry, and it's just amazing. I wish we had that stuff here in America at times.
And I just to add on, one other thing was about that same love and, I guess, appreciation and recognition when HBL had their poetry showcase, the Deaf Poetry Show. It was a great opportunity to share with the world and share with the general country this movement of poetry. So it was a great opportunity to be a part of that as well.
So I'm hearing a theme here about the universality of poetry, not yes. only as an art form, sure. but in terms of yes. what it can communicate.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really, you know, poetry is really, I mean, it's almost like politics. It's very local. And the more you share your stories here, you realize that they're the same as across the country. I mean, across the world, even, you know, sharing these stories about where the struggles you're going through, your joys, the pains of life. And that's what poetry is, truly that expression of life. And it's common to every race of people, every group, every ethnic group, every mm-hmm. tribe, every citizen, you know. And for us to have that opportunity to realize that poetry is truly one of our similarities. I mean, at the core of our heart is that the art that we have in poetry is very central to the art of many people.
And, I mean, your work clearly has brought you great recognition within Delaware. I know that Governor Markell was familiar with your work for quite some time, and really felt compelled to appoint you as the Poets Laureate for the state of Delaware. And I believe you serve now as the 17th
yes.
Poets Laureate here in Delaware. And because of your relationship with us in the Division of the Arts, we're familiar with your schedule, and it's an incredibly ambitious schedule on top of your personal lives and your work lives. Could you speak to what that has done for you, being appointed the Poets Laureate?
It has opened the door. You know, we've been traveling and visiting schools in Delaware for the past 20 years, but it's opened the door to so many schools, and just those calls and the calendars are filling up. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to say, okay, now they want to hear this. They want to hear from the Twins. And it's an honor anytime you get a chance to speak to children, especially those who love art, you know, to be in the position where I remember when I was you, I remember being a 10th grader and I was a little different than the rest of the kids, and I loved to write and they didn't like to write. And so when you're anytime that you can get to be able to touch that kid and say, it's okay to share your gift. It's okay to write. Write your mom a poem today. That's what I would do. You know, don't argue with that kind of thing. So whenever you can pass along this gift and inspire another person, you know, we have so many parents, you know, when my kid came home from school today, you know, and he didn't want a video game. He wanted me to take him to the mall to get a journal. You know, those are the things that we can't put a price tag on that. It's like this is what this is about. This is how you pass the skiff along. Someone else loves this art right now. And it's a joy.
And I will say as well, the great support from the teachers and administrators, I mean, who are really, you know, thirsting to have this type of art presented, because throughout the years, there's been such a, I won't say the arts being devalued, but I guess defunded if you know, you're showing your priorities through your budget, and so mm-hmm. many arts programs are being cut. So to have the opportunity to re-immerse arts into the classroom, it's been great. It's mm-hmm. been a great opportunity and a great support for many of our teachers who are there on the front lines.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in addition to writing and performing poetry, I know in a documentary that was done on you on Why I Write, that you also conduct workshops with students. Could you speak to how you convey to students what how writing poetry can be of value to them, or any experiences you've seen where a student has had that aha moment or really opened up in a way that they might not have otherwise done?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Just last night, we were speaking at a group home last night with the young ladies. And the poem she wrote was about my medication. You know, they make me take this medication, but some days I'm having better days before you give me those pills. You know, how the pills, and it's where you begin, they begin able to question the things around them. You know, you said this medicine, this is what she said. You said this medicine was for angry. Well, I haven't been angry in a while, so why am I still taking this? You know, and that those are the gifts and joys, those aha moments, and they begin to question themselves. And when you empower children and art, it empowers them, and then they'll be able to raise their hand and ask questions and have confidence and say, well, no, that's not what you said last month. You know, and that's, you know, and it's amazing to see when they get to that point. And art is so powerful, and it can help men so many things. And it's good to be able to be in this position, to be able to put poetry and art in conversation, to be able to go into detention centers, go into classrooms, go in and talk to, you know, some of these teachers. You know, they're at their wits' end. They don't know what to do with these kids. And we come in, and these kids are, the best participants that we have in poetry workshops. And like, wow, how did you get them to do that? This kid was yearning for this. He was waiting for an opportunity to express themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, just echoing the same thing. And it was yesterday we were double duty. So I was alone yesterday as my brother was alone in his workshop. But we visited just on a call to Prestige Charter School, a male charter school. And they're having testing for the upper grades. So they had a group of seventh graders who were challenging students. And they were searching for speakers. And I just got the text and I said, I'll be right over. So I went over and spoke with a group of maybe 15 students yesterday, and it was the same thing. It was, I mean, these students that were challenging, they sat there for hour and a half, mm-hmm. just eating up this conversation, eating up the poetry and the support that we provided them. And it's really an opportunity. So often their students are steered toward one path. This is the only path you have. But when you present them another opportunity, another way to express themselves, to view life, It's a great eye-opening experience for these children, and really shows them the true power and magnitude of the arts, where it can transform not only their individual lives, but their families, their communities, and the world. And that's what we stress throughout our artwork.
Well, this is really fascinating. I would love for our listeners to have an opportunity to hear one of your poems, and then to talk a little bit about how you use poetry for purpose, poetry with purpose. But first, I need to remind our listeners, you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM, 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are the twin poets and 17th Poets Laureate for the state of Delaware, Albert Mills and Nnamdi Chukwuocha. It's so fascinating having you here with us today. But we talked off the air beforehand. I asked if you would be willing to share a poem with our audience, and you said you would. So yes. Go ahead.
And the poem we're going to recite is entitled Goals, which is Getting Organized Always Leads Success. Getting organized always leads success, helping the children to be their very best. For the children are the future, as we all know. And if you never give up on your dreams, you'll continue to grow, because getting organized always leads success. And I encourage you to read and write stories and poetry, to imagine and use your minds instead of just playing PlayStation and watching videos all the time. I challenge you to read your school books and go to a library and check out books that are of interest to you, and then read and smile as you learn something new. And your goals become plans, a way to make your dreams come true. And the world would tempt you and say, yeah, just be mediocre, try to get over, settle with making those C's and D's that you can get with ease. But I challenge you to study to receive those A's and B's. And when you're on the computers, I want you to do more than check out Facebook and all the different websites. I want you to learn how the software works and to practice how to type. Take no shortcuts. Take your time and prepare for that test, because getting organized always leads success. And the day will come, when someone try to get you to drink or use drugs. But I encourage you to think of your mother's love, to just say no and walk away. For that person's not your friend, but someone trying to steal your dreams away. And I know that peer pressure to be cool in school is great, but your education is most important, so little boyfriends and girlfriends can wait. Pay attention in class, stay focused, and always give your best, because getting organized always leads success. And in you, your goals grows like a rose, so I suppose you just grab hold and take flight. And when problems arise, talk things out, but there's never ever a reason to fight. And remember that your dreams are only a day away. And how many times can a twin poet says, no matter how dark it may seem today, keep faith in your goals will surely make a way. Believe in yourself and make your dreams come true. And next millionaire, doctor, preacher, or teacher could indeed be you, because getting organized always leads success. So I challenge you to always do your best. Thank you.
I would love to let that settle in silence for a moment, but I don't want our radio audience to think we went off the air. So, just a wonderful example of poetry with power, with meaning, with substance. and poetry with purpose, which is what I'd like to pursue now for the remainder of our time together. I know you recently attended a conference, a Split This Rock conference, poetry conference, and I understand that organization, Split This Rock, actually its name comes from a line from a Langston Hughes poem.
Yes, sir.
Could you tell us about your experience at the Split This Rock conference and sort of how that organization and the theme of this conference really dovetails with how you use poetry for, you know, for messaging and change, really social change?
Very much so. I mean, it was a wonderful conference. And first of all, we're hoping to be able to do some version of it here in Wilmington, because it truly was. And it was great to be around so many artists and positive artists from all walks of life, from all countries. And everything was geared toward progress. What can we do to make these words meaningful? This is not just a poem about this tree. You know, let's do something about why the trees are being cut down. Everything had to have a meaning behind it. And it's just so wonderful to see as artists challenging themselves to be the best artist that they can be, not just being satisfied with your gift, but trying to be the best that you can be to give back. And we met so many beautiful art. I mean, there was a collective from South Africa, from Germany, from London. I mean, it was truly amazing. And to be touched by their words, like, well, we have to do this. You know, we have to do this when we go back home. And seeing them speak about, I'm reminded of one of the South African poets. He talked about they call the children the miners, that the miners are troubling in the street, is the poem he was saying. The miners are having trouble in the street, you know, the miners. And it just reminded me of my neighborhood. Like, so the same thing is going on. The children in the street are having problems there. And children, so it was just like, I understand why you wrote this poem. I write those same poems. And it was just touching to see how the same struggles that are there that we're addressing with art, that they're addressing here as well.
Yeah. And I think that as well, the point of having so many organizations supporting the art of having, it was the environmental health, it was mental health organization, it was educational institutions, all there showing how art and poetry is used as a foundation through their work. So it was just so amazing to see this collective body coming together, utilizing art in so many, in poetry in so many different facets to address social concerns. So it was definitely a great experience to be there. And as Brother said, we're in our minds scrambling about how we can replicate that and bring that same type of purpose here to our art and to our organizations to unify in how we can use poetry and spoken word as a true tool for empowerment and as a direct service link between so many different service providers who are addressing many of the same social issues from a different standpoint, but using art as the combining or linking tool.
Now, they split This Rock conference, a series of workshops and presenters. What are some of the types of themes that were addressed in the workshops?
There was one about team writing, one about politics.
Funding, funding organizations, about another one, even one was about the environment. There was environment dealing with creating urban gardens. And so that array of
voices. Yeah, brave new voices for the younger writers.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And utilizing a curriculum as far as creating a curriculum, aligning poetry with the Common Core curriculum and how poetry can fit into the educational arena was one of the workshops as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting theme because I know one of the challenges of educators is whenever they're asked to do yet one more thing.
Exactly.
But I kind of see poetry as one of those art forms that isn't an addition to. It can be used as part of.
Very much.
You know, certainly
sure.
Part of the language arts program.
Absolutely.
But can be used across the board in teaching so many different things.
Sure.
Not least of which is, you know, self-esteem and self-awareness.
Exactly. And confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'd love to ask you, we got a couple minutes left. You clearly use your poetry in a very powerful way to address social issues, the struggles that we wrestle with as individuals and as groups and as communities. Could you speak to some of the different types of organizations you have worked with through your poetry, and what considerations you take into a venue when you, Because, I mean, clearly if you're going into a community center, there has to be some different thought process, I would think, than going into a mental health setting or, you know, a juvenile detention center type thing.
We believe that the arts are universal, and honestly, we believe that the arts are missing in so many facets from direct services, especially direct service providers, and how we can use it. So we believe we fit everywhere from churches, mosques, and synagogues to after-school programs, boys and girls clubs, the YMCAs, to group homes. We believe this message is very important, very relevant, and we believe it's a message that can be tailored and adapted to almost any setting in any group, because everyone can recognize, everyone has a story to tell, and all our art form is done and is assisting the participants with understanding how they can use their voice.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And being able to empower, especially say, a lot of our writing is geared toward the children, so being able to help those them and as well as the ones in detention and in prison, to be able to help them reconnect with themselves, because, you know, some of the ones when they're in prison or in detention in these group homes, they get the label as bad people, you know, and then they think they're bad people. So to be able to help them reconnect, the young lady said last night, I've been cold-hearted since I was in the fifth grade. And, you know, and so last night's group, we were, no, you're not. You're a beautiful little kid. You know, you've just been in some cold-hearted situations. You know, you're 13. You're not cold-hearted. So being able to get them to find a beauty within themselves and look and smile. And, you know, you look at this person, does this look like a cold heart? And have her smile. And let's write about your smile. Mm-hmm. And then had everybody in the class write about her smile. And no, you're not cold. You know, so those are the things, be able to help people find the beauty within themselves. And at times, everyone can use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's really a beautiful way to end our session today. We're running out of time. I want to thank you so much, Albert Mills and Nnamdi Chukwuocha, the Twin Poets and Delaware's Poets Laureate, for joining us today. Just kudos on the great work that you're doing throughout the state and really regionally with employing poetry for purpose.
Thank you so very much. Thanks for having us. It's an honor.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.